Amen. That's a subject that Brother Thomas kept going for a long time with. But I want to talk about something else that the Lord does in the heart. And my thoughts this morning is on hope. A lively hope. We have every reason in the world, if God has taken out that hard and stony heart and given us a heart of flesh and feeling and understanding, then if we have that, then we also have every reason in the world to have a lively hope. You know, it's not a very good witness for us to go around just mourning and moping around or whatever without feeling like we have any hope. Circumstances might be bad in this world, but that's just temporary. God has blessed us to know what He's done eternally. So to introduce this, I want to read a little bit out of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now keep in mind all the things that Brother Thomas has taught us this morning. Well, certainly that's something we need to remember. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There's a month of preaching right there. The whole Godhead involved in our salvation. But verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the reason our hope is alive, because He's alive. All right? So when we think about He has begotten us again into a lively hope. What is hope? You know, what we commonly speak of in day-to-day life about hope is really a wish. We hope something will happen. But to the Christian, and in the Bible, what God has given us as what has been expressed as hope is something that's not just a wish. It's something that's sure. It's steadfast. It's been promised, and it's being kept by the power of God. So who's going to change that? Can't be changed, can it? All right, so and Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How in the world can you see things that are not seen? Hope, faith, you know, what God's given us, what He's put in our hearts, what He's blessed us with, the spiritual faculties of seeing and understanding and laying hold upon those things that God has done for us. Bless your hearts, then that's things that are unseen. That's evidence of things that are not seen. So, in connection with that, hope is greater than anything you've ever seen this side of glory. It's greater than that. Because it speaks of things that are greater than this world. It tells us God has prepared something greater than what we've had in this world. But He's given it to us now, for us to enjoy now, till He comes again. And it's something that will help us and encourage us and strengthen us. In the book of Hebrews, it speaks about God's will. And how that in a will, you have a testator, you have heirs to the will. And in that will, you find that everything's mapped out, or hopefully you've addressed the things that you want done when that will is put in force. And the will is put in force when the person making the will passes this life. Well, bless your hearts. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about His will, when we think about God's will, He has laid out His will for us to learn from His word. He has told us who the heirs are of this will. And the Lord Jesus Christ has died. And that will is in force. Bless your hearts. We're the blessed benefactor. We're the heirs of those things that are specified by God's eternal will, His purpose. And bless your hearts. Not only do we have the blessed privilege of being heirs of all that He has given us, but bless your hearts, we have the blessed privilege that someday we will be with Him to enjoy all of that. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that's better than anything we've enjoyed in this life. All right? So, over the years, as I've heard this subject preached, there's a number of things that characterizes this will that we've been able to learn from both the scriptures and a lot of the things that we've heard preached. And so I wish I could claim that this list of mine is something I've dug out of the scriptures all by myself, but I can't do that. You know, even Albert Einstein, I believe this was, I hope I've got the right credit here. Even Albert Einstein, and somebody was questioning him about all the things that he was able to do, and he said, well, if I've seen farther than any other man, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. Well, I'm not claiming that I've seen farther than any other man, but I certainly have been blessed by some good men who have preached the gospel and taught God's people and opened unto us the scriptures so that we're able to understand more. And that's what we all should be striving for, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and to understand what the scriptures teach us about what God would have us to know. Don't you know that what God put in this book, He would have us to know it? He's inspired it. He's kept it from error. He's blessed us to have it. He's preserving it. Bless your hearts. The promise of God's word is that it'll be there. It says words of the Lord, Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth seven times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. And I take from that that it means that as long as God's people are here, and as long as we're waiting for Jesus to come back, that He's preserving this word and He will keep it available for His people. Now, if God's going to all that trouble to inspire this word and preserve this word, don't you think we ought to avail ourselves to it? Sure we should. All right? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that every one of us could avail ourselves to it more than we do. And Brother Tommy might want to argue with me on that one, but I think that's a true statement. I think we could all. You know, just like Elder Sonny Piles used to say, somebody asked him, how should we study the Bible? He had a one-word answer, more. More. I think that fits all of us. Certainly fits me. I'll leave it with that. All right, so there's some things about this hope that God has given us. Brother Tommy was talking about things that the Lord does in our heart. And very close to what some of what he was saying, Colossians 1:27 speaks about how that Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he has to be there in order for us to have that hope, right? He has to be there in order for us to have that eternal life. So part of other things that the Lord does for us there is that he gives faith. Well, first of all, he gives us life. And with that life comes faith. And with that comes hope. All right? So Hallelujah. The first thing I want to notice about hope is that God is the one that by his grace has given it to us. And it's by grace. The next thing I want to talk about is close to this, so hang in there. It's by grace. The longer I live, the more I rejoice and the more I appreciate the grace of God. Perhaps part of that is because I make more mistakes. And I farther and farther, I convince myself I'm not worthy of the blessings God has given me. But he's so good. He's so merciful. He's so gracious that he continues to bless us. Not for our mistakes, in spite of our mistakes. Because of grace. God loved us. Sent his son to save us. Gives us his spirit that we can know it. And his word teaches us that he's preserving these things for us. I tell you, the grace of God. How wonderful that God has given us grace. But the next thing I want to notice about this hope is that what he's given is a gift. I want to emphasize the gift part of it. It's by grace. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? You know, isn't it wonderful that we didn't have to meet a whole bunch of requirements in order for this to be ours? Or hold out faithful to the end, or we could lose it? Now, we ought to be faithful to the end. But bless your hearts, grace is bigger than that. Our God has blessed us with what he has purposed to give unto us. I'm going out a lot of limbs this morning, but I'm also going to say about this grace and this gift is that there's no unclaimed gifts that God has. Now, there's plenty of unclaimed blessings. We miss a lot of blessings in life that could be ours. We have so much that's available to us that could be ours that we miss. But I'm going to tell you, everyone that he purposed to save, it's not a matter of if you'll receive him, then you can have it. It's not a matter of he's got it all there, all you got to do is just come take it. No, he didn't leave salvation for that. Now blessings, I can see how that might apply to some blessings. But the gift of salvation, the gift of what Jesus came to do, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that Jesus did that was for naught. There's nothing that he intended for someone to have that they're not going to get. Because bless your hearts, what he did is purpose to save his people before the foundation of the world. Before we had our being, before we made our mistakes, he chose out his people. And 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us that nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And everyone he purposed to save are saved. And we can rejoice in that. And having received his spirit and blessed us to have those spiritual faculties, then we can begin to understand the word of God. We can begin to understand and embrace the word of God. And we can lay hold upon these precious promises and rejoice in that hope that he has given us. And so as we think about this hope, it's by grace. He's given it to us as a gift. And that's not, Titus 1 and 2 tells us in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Not only is it a gift, he promised it. Now, I can make promises that I may not follow through with. I can make promises that some circumstances could change, and I can't follow through with it. But that's not the way God is. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows what he intends to do, and he's able to do it. And he will bring it to pass. And so not only is it this hope, the hope of what we have awaiting us, not only is it a gift, bless your hearts, he's promised it. He's promised it. The scriptures have also told us in the scriptures themselves have told us. Romans 15:4, Paul said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now that's not the source of it, but that is certainly what enlivens our hope. It informs our hope. It strengthens our hope. It makes it more lively to know that when we search the scriptures and we find the power of God and we see the love of God and we see the mercy of God and we see how compassionate God is and we see all the ways that God has cared for his people and provided for them. Oh, bless your hearts. That gives us hope. And when we understand that his mercy is everlasting. You know, if you're like me, sometimes you wonder, is God's mercy going to continue with me? You know, and I'm not saying that that I'm in despair about that. I'm just, you know, that thought that God is so merciful. And when I read in the scriptures, those things that were written aforetime, when I read those things and I see how that God has extended his mercy so many times and how merciful he was to the children of Israel and all of their wanderings and their disobedience and stiff-necked and hard-heartedness and all those things, and I see how God is so merciful, that gives me hope. It brightens my hope. It helps me to realize a little bit more just how great God is, that he's given us this hope. Believers have the opportunity, and we should have the ability, to describe our reason for our hope. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, Peter talks about be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee a reason for the hope that is in you. Okay? With meekness and fear. A reason for your hope. What would you say if somebody said, well, why do you have hope in God? Why do you feel like you're one of God's people? You know, that would be a good thing for us to ponder. Because Peter said to be ready to give that answer. And I think it all gives all of us a little bit of pause. To think, well, what would I tell somebody? I hope maybe you've thought about that. I hope you've rehearsed that a little bit in your mind. What is the reason for your hope? First of all, and I won't take a lot of time with this, but if you stop and think about it, and what Brother Thomas told us this morning, by nature, we wouldn't have a hope. And so if we do, it's because God has had mercy upon us and has blessed us to know him. That's how we have it, because God has given it to us. And he promised that to his people. And so when we think about what he's given us, and then we read other scriptures like Romans 8:14, which says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you feel the leadership of the Spirit of God in your heart? Do you feel conviction whenever you do something that's not quite in keeping with the Word of God? All of those things come from a heart that's been quickened. All of those things come from to someone who's the happy recipient of the grace of God and has been awakened to righteousness and to understand that God is the one who has sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. We didn't do that. We didn't have any part in that. We're the happy recipients of it. That's my hope. And it's not just because it's a mental exercise that I've taken all these things and added them up. But it's that feeling within our hearts, that love that he's given us in our heart, that faith, which is the ability to trust him, because it's something that God has put in us. It wasn't something that we did for ourselves. And there's so much more. But we ought to be ready to give a reason And that reason comes from the scriptures. That reasons come from our experience, that God has blessed us to know him. That if we know him, and if we have if we feel the leadership of his spirit, it's because God put it there. And when God starts a work, he finishes it. Paul said to the Philippian brethren, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you've ever felt his love, if you've ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've ever desired to please him, it's because he's given you his spirit. You are his. You will be with him in glory. That's our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That which he's given us protects us against Satan's attacks. When, you know, we know that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, he speaks about the armor of God, all the various pieces of it. He covers all of it. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul only touches on one piece or a couple of pieces. And part of that, it says, for an helmet, you know, we're to guard our minds, aren't we? We're to guard our heart. We need to be reminded of God's mercy and his goodness and all he's done for us. For an helmet, he says, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. In other words, if we've tasted that he's gracious, if he's blessed us to know him, if he's blessed us to understand what he's done in saving his people from their sins, and bless your hearts, when we feel like that we're one of those that he saved, that saves us now, doesn't it? That protects our mind and our heart now against the insults that Satan will so oftentimes throw against us. And by the way, Satan works in a lot of ways. Sometimes he works through other people. Sometimes things happen to us. We're buffeted for things. But there's so many ways. We need the reminder. We need those fresh reminders of what God has done for us and how we have felt his love and how we understand his forgiveness and how we understand what Jesus has done for us. We need that hope of salvation. All of that builds up to the same thing. Having that hope strengthens us in trials and strengthens us against the trials of this life. You know, sometimes we're tempted to lose hope. Sometimes we're tempted to be discouraged. David, on one occasion, at Ziklag, when the enemy came behind them and attacked the camp after they had left the camp going out to battle. The enemy came around and kidnapped a lot of the women and the children and burned the city. And the people wanted to stone David. Well, I guess the leader has to take responsibility, right? But it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you haven't experienced, I suspect you have. If you haven't experienced that, we're going to need to do that from time to time in life. To remind ourselves of this hope. To remind ourselves the power of God. To remind ourselves the love of God. To remind ourselves the promises of God. To remind ourselves all of those things which will help us to be strengthened in and through and from the trials of this life. Romans chapter 5, when Paul is speaking about tribulation, worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. In other words, Tribulation worketh our patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. And experience worketh hope. It energizes. Sometimes people say it produces. Whatever it does, bless your hearts, without those tribulations and without that experience and without that patience, we're not left with much hope. Those things strengthen our hope. And when it has strengthened our hope, then the next time we go through those kinds of experiences in our life, we're better able to handle those things. I'm not saying they're going to be easy. I'm just saying that we have the experience of God and how He has healed us and how He has blessed us in the past. We have that to look to for the future. Hope. We need that hope in this life. And God knew that we needed that. That's why He gave it to us, right? Those things which God has given to us are for our good, to strengthen us, to help us, to encourage us, that we might be able to walk before Him in a way that would be pleasing in His sight. We also get joy and blessings from that. I want to notice a couple of scriptures. Psalm 146, verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. Now, this is Old Testament, and it speaks about the God of Jacob, but He's the same God today. All right? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. That is where our hope is today, in the Lord. It's not in man. Man will let you down. Man is limited. It's not in our material things. Those things are going to perish away. Those things are corruptible. Things can change. You know, the economy can change, investments can change, all those kind of things. They're just fleeting. They're just temporary things. But our hope is in the eternal God, the one who always has been, the one who always will be, the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, the one that loves us greater than we can ever imagine this side of glory. The one that loves us so that we'll have all eternity to experience the love that he has for us. I tell you, we can go on and on as to the reasons why our hope is in the Lord. It's when our hope is placed upon other things in this world that we get into trouble, right? But when we remember that our hope is in the Lord, then there's joy and blessings. Also in Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, Romans 15, verse 13, Paul's getting close to the end of his epistle to the church at Rome. And he says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now how is it that we have this? How is it that we will abound in it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, this is not something we've manufactured in our mind. This is not just something we've added up and we have the mental understanding of it. This has come from the heart. We've heard about this morning. This has come from God working in that heart and the Spirit of God continuing to work in us. And that Spirit is the Holy Ghost. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, there are times that things challenge our belief. And believing is not just an on-off switch. We grow in our understanding. We grow in our depth of belief. We grow. You know, if you were to ask somebody, what do you believe? Well, the first question would have to be, well, believe about what? And then, you know, one way to help you when you're talking to another Christian is, you know, what do you believe about salvation? You know, and pretty quickly in a discussion like that, you'll find out what camp they're in. Whether they talk about, you know, the majority of Christianity wants to say, well, you know, if you just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, then you'll be saved. So we would see very quickly what they understand about grace and what they understand about salvation. But bless your hearts, well, we're blessed to understand that Jesus was sent by the Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. When you understand what that verse or those couple of verses of scripture tells us, then you find that it's the grace of God that sent his son down to this earth to save a people that had been given to him to save, and they are safe in the blood of Jesus. And not only are they safe in his blood, he's going to raise them up at the last day. Not only did he come to save us, but he's come to raise us up and take us home to be with him forever. Oh, what a blessing that is. The joy in believing these wonderful truths. The God of all hope is what gives us that. So as we think about, but you know, none of this would be worth anything if it wasn't guaranteed. If it was left up to us, I'd be like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 about not exactly the same subject, but I'd be of all men most miserable. If it was left up to me for all this to be accomplished, I'd be of all men most miserable. But bless your hearts, it's guaranteed. This hope that's in us, this hope that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ who has purchased this for us. It is Christ who is keeping this for us. We are preserved in him. And what he did for us was to secure our salvation and our home in glory. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your hearts, when he came forth, didn't he say before he went to the cross in John 14, 19, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Now in his death, he redeemed us from our sins. He paid our sin debt in his death. But he didn't say because I die. He said because I live. Not only did he come and live that sinless life, went about doing good, and suffered tremendously throughout his ministry, and even when it came to the end of it, when they nailed him to that, when they beat him, and when they nailed him to that cross, he suffered mercilessly at the hands of men. But while he was hanging there, God turned out the lights of this world, and in those hours of darkness, he endured the wrath of Almighty God for all our sins. And because God was satisfied, Isaiah 53 in prophecy speaks about how that he shall see, talking about God the Father in heaven looking upon his Son on the cross, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. when God was satisfied with the offering of his son for our sins, bless your hearts, after 3 days and three nights, Jesus arose from that tomb. He came forth out of that grave. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, we shall live also. Oh, the resurrection of our Lord is the very reason why we have hope. If he'd stayed in that tomb, you know, and that's part of what I believe, part of what Peter's experience was when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, I'm getting that cross with Ephesians 1, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Peter had experienced firsthand that when Jesus was in the tomb, there wasn't any joy in anybody. There wasn't any preaching. There wasn't any rejoicing. They were perplexed that this one who had all power was in the tomb. But that was God's design. And when he came forth out of that tomb, now Peter had been begotten again in his experience with a lively hope, because Jesus Christ is now alive. And in the book of Revelation, he tells us, "I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's so much more. Time's about is gone, but there's so much more that we could say about this hope. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's precious. It's something that God has given us to assure us as we go through this life. There's other scriptures we could have gone through, but I hope that we've just given you an idea, reminding you what the scripture has to say. Those things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. May God help us to read this precious word. And may our hope be brightened each time we understand a little bit more of what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that our hope might be brighter. God bless you is our prayer.